Get behind me, Satan. Harsh words to the first Pope, Peter. The word Satan means adversary, obstacle. You've become an obstacle in my path. I was born, Simon Peter, to die. That's the purpose of my life. Don't try and make a detour. Don't insert your will before mine. Our whole life is a struggle, a tension between God's will and our will, between who we are and who we ought to be. And in between this tension is the reality of the cross. The cross is essential to our salvation. Christ died upon the cross to take away our sins then, and the cross in our life now is still essential to our salvation. Our Lord says, if you want to follow me, be a disciple, pick it up. Don't drag it. Don't cut it up. Don't give parts to other people. Pick up your cross. Tailor-made, then follow me. He's not giving us an option, it's an obligation. The cross is essential for our salvation. Why? It's simple. Because if you want to partake in the resurrection of Christ, you must follow him to Calvary. If you want to rise in glory at Easter, you must firstly partake of Good Friday. If the Lord's gone before you, bearing his cross for your sake, he expects you now to follow him, bearing your cross for his sake. It makes sense, yet the cross is something we shy away from. Why? Because of our wounded nature. Pleasure, popularity, fame and comfort don't fit with the cross. The cross is harsh and hard, bitter. What is the cross? Well, apart from those crosses we make for ourselves out of stupid choices and our own sins, the cross will come. And the cross might be physical, it might be emotional, it could be psychological, it could be spiritual, it could be all four. If it's physical, it might be because our body, which was once so able, is now disabled. If it's emotional, it might be because of some broken relationship, something, or rather someone, missing from our lives. All that hurt that lingers deep within. If it's psychological or mental, perhaps it's a darkness within that we struggle with each day, seeking the light of joy in a world of misery. Or perhaps our cross is spiritual, a sense of anxiety, a sense of fear, a sense of, is there a God? Could he love me? These are some of the crosses we face in life, apart from what comes with work, others that we meet, family issues and so forth. And Christ is saying, don't look at the cross as a crutch. A crutch is the way the world sees us.
Oh, you need church, you need God, religion, oh well, go down there if you need it.
A little bit like a doctor. You only see a doctor or a dentist when you have to. Well, you need religion if you have to mentality to prop you up in life. Oh, go on, I'll fix you up, prop you up. That's not the cross. The cross doesn't prop us up, rather we prop up the cross. It's not under us, but over us. We bear it. It doesn't bear us. The cross is something that we bear for love of God. And by bearing it, he takes away our greed, our selfishness, our pride. He takes those elements away and gives us more generosity, kindness, and empathy towards others, because we imitate him in bearing our cross and therefore are preparing our soul for eternal life. The cross is a blessing. It looks ugly, but rather it's of great value. Years ago I used to visit the prison on a weekly basis, and often going into the prison the inmates come to you in search of God sometimes, but often in search of other things.
You have a pair of rosary beads, Father, a
prayer book, often I'd want Tim Tam. As I was leaving, God, can you leave a box of Tim Tams, a packet of this? Sure, fine. But invariably, each week someone would come up to me and say, "Father, do you have a cross? Do you have a cross, a spare cross, a gold cross perhaps?" And I was puzzled with this fascination for the cross. Why not take a miraculous medal? Or look at these nice rosary beads. No, the cross is all I want, Father. Even strangers would approach me. "Can you have a cross, Father?" One inmate, I said to him, "What's this thing about the cross? I don't see them wearing it." I said, "Father, you've missed the point. Money is not how we survive in here. We get some pocket money. But if you want cigarettes, you want to have an extra something in your meal or chocolate, you look around for what you can barter with. And the cross is of value. We barter with it. And if it's a good gold cross, it can make life a bit more comfortable one day of the week." In other words, they were selling it. Well, bartering with it. No, the point was, it was of value, even among the inmates. They were proud to wear it. Why? Well, it's the cross, the symbol of it, that makes the sense of it. It's two beams. One is horizontal. That represents our will in life. What we want, what we need. The vertical beam is God's will, what he wants of us. Thy will be done. Now, two beams don't make a cross because two beams crossed over, as any child will tell you, is a plus symbol. But the cross is not a plus symbol because the vertical beam is much longer than the horizontal beam. The point being that vertical beam, God's will, ought to dominate over our will. And that's the hidden symbolism. It did on Calvary. His will dominated. He didn't have to die, he chose to. And his will today should dominate. His will should be what we want rather than what we think we need. And that's why he's saying, if anyone wants to follow me, do my will first. If anyone wants to save his life, will lose it. But anyone who loses his life for my sake will find it. Don't squander your choices in life seeking fame, fortune, popularity at the expense of me. Seek my will first and those things will come if you need them. Hence, what then will a man gain if he wins the whole world? You have everything at the expense of your immortal soul. What do you have then at the end of life? You've always done your thing and not mine. And that's why the first reading of St. Paul writes to the church at Rome, don't model yourself on the behaviour of the world around you. Model yourself on what I want for you. The vertical beam must dominate over the horizontal. Otherwise, life is ugly. And that's why we are so sad in our society today. Our secular world doesn't want God's will. In fact, it doesn't want the cross. Or if it sees the cross, it sees it as a crutch rather than a means of sanctification. We pray that we might choose God's will first. One great statesman, politician, lawyer, chancellor of the realm of England did that and is an honoured saint in the church, Thomas More, friend of Henry VIII. He was in charge of the country. In effect, the king was the king, but he had his chancellor, prime minister, governing. And they were friends until the issue came of marriage, the stumbling block, moral issues. Henry wanted a divorce. Thomas was faithful to God and wouldn't allow his love of the king and country to take supremacy over his love of God. He had everything to lose and he lost everything, his fame, his fortune and even his family. He sacrificed to do God's will, to save his soul. I'm the king's servant, but God first. He would die. I love the king, but I love God more. And when push came to shove, when he met that crossroad in his life, that is the crossroad that we meet, always has a choice, he can go left or right. He chose to go the right way, God's way. I'm not going to disobey God to obey you, Henry. Hence, no longer are you chancellor. Lock him up, and eventually he beheaded his best friend. The king slaughtered the chancellor because he was doing God's will instead of his own. He was a great heroes back then and still today. We pray that through the intercession of Thomas More, more of our politicians may realise that not here to do their will, but God's will, that he can govern for the sake of all. We pray that our politicians may stand up for the truth of marriage against minority groups that are trying to redefine God's institution of marriage. We pray that our politicians may defend life, as did Thomas More, by giving his life. We pray that they too may come to realise that one day all things will pass, and the cross they see in the political world may be the means of their salvation. They, like ourselves, meet those crossroads, may we judge wisely. May we often have in our thoughts and in our minds the simple statement, what's the profit of man to gain the whole world and to lose his soul? Praise to Jesus Christ.